So thank you for having us. Nice to see everyone. Thank you, Mataji. I know we were supposed to come a lot earlier.
Yes.
In terms of the months before, but somehow it never worked out. But I was just saying, you know, it just didn't work out earlier. But somehow, maybe it's the Lord's arrangement that we should come together. So we'll just chant for 5 minutes,
okay,
and then we'll start speaking on Damodar, and then we'll light up the lamps.
Are you comfortable?
Very comfortable. No, don't worry. This gives me a good backrest.
Oh.
As long as I'm not seated on the chair, I'm very comfortable.
Oh, yeah.
Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari, Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Gopi Janavallaha Bhaha Giri Varadhari. Jaya Gopi Janavallaha Bhaha Giri Varadhari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Gopi Janavallabha Giri Varadhari. Jaya Gopi Janavallabha Giri Varadhari.
Gopi Janavallabha
ಯಶೋದಾನಂದನ ಪ್ರಜಜನರಂಜನ ಯಶೋದನಂದನ ಬ್ರಜಜನರಂಜನ ಯಮುನ ತೀರವನ ಚಾರಿ ಯಮುನ ತೀರವನ ಚಾರಿ ಜಯ ರಾಧಾ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ ಜಯ ರಾಧಾ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ ಕೀ ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರುದೇವ ಕೀ ಅನಂತ ಕೋರಿ ವೈಷ್ಣವೇಂದ ಕೀ ನಿತಾಯ ಗೌರ ಪ್ರೇಮನಂದಿ ಸೊ ಥ್ಯಾಂಕ್ ಯು ಸಾಗರ್ ಪ್ರಭು ಅಂಡ್ ಫ್ಯಾಮಿಲಿ ಫಾರ್ ಹ್ಯಾವಿಂಗ್ ಅಸ್ ಓವರ್ ಪ್ಲೀಸ್ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಅ ಸೀಟ್ ಐ ಫೀಲ್ ಬ್ಯಾಡ್ ಸೀನ್ ಯು ಆರ್ ಸ್ಟ್ಯಾಂಡಿಂಗ್. So this is just an informal gathering and it's an auspicious time of the year. What we did was just to sing so many wonderful names of the Lord. In all scriptures it is very nicely, universally recognized that the name of the Lord and the name of his devotee is very powerful. Because the devotee of the Lord has nothing else in his heart or her heart except love of the Lord, the devotee becomes what we call the transparent via medium, which means through the blessings of a pure devotee, we can attain some mercy of the Lord. We find very often that the names of the Lord are so powerful that even if there is no form in front of us, so to speak, just by hearing the name, we can actually see the form in the heart. In Bhagavatam, it is stated, Tvam Bhakti Yoga Paribhavita Hrit Saroja. So in the third canto, Brahmaji says that, my Lord, we can see you. How? By hearing about you. In the material world, you cannot see a person just by hearing about them. But even in the material world, if you hear about someone and if you know that person, you can capture the person in the heart. Especially if you love the person. If you're away from your child for some time and you picked up the phone and you heard your child, you find that just by hearing the child, you can actually see the child in your heart. So the process actually comes from the supreme spiritual world. Why? Because in the spiritual world, just the name is considered to be so potent, so complete, that just by hearing the name, what happens is that the good Lord appears in the heart of a devotee who's hearing, and hearing in such a way that it is considered to be paribhavita. Paribhavita means 100% engaged. To the extent that we are engaged in Krishna's service, to that extent, Bhagavatam tells us, we will actually be able to perceive Krishna in the heart. The other very important qualification to see the Lord or perceive the Lord in the heart is actually stated in the prayers of the unborn child. So in our scriptures, we say that the unborn child at the time at the time of conception comes into being and therefore is conscious. By the time the child attains 7 months, the child is considered to be fully conscious, which is why even in today's age you find that you have so many different paraphernalias that are encouraged to be used, you know, soft tunes for the mothers to be to hear, the idea that we encourage a very nice peaceful atmosphere for the unborn child. The reason we do that is because the unborn child has consciousness. And you are mother-to-be. You know when the child is moving. You know that you are angry. And you have a sense that that will upset the child because the child is so connected to you. But the child is also connected to the Supreme Lord, because the moment conception begins, Bhagavatam tells us at that point of time, while the soul manifests itself in the unborn child, the Lord always will manifest where the soul is. The soul is like a child, and the super soul, who is the Lord, he's the silent witness. He's the silent witness in every house. He's a silent witness to all our prayers. He's also the silent witness to all our actions. So actually, this concept of God being the silent witness in the heart, the perceiver of all our actions, is there everywhere. And that is why we have such a thing called conscience. To the extent that our conscience is connected to our consciousness of the Lord, to that extent, our heart can actually hear and perceive Him. This is the science of devotional service. So actually, by hearing about the Lord, by hearing His names particularly, because His names are so powerful, our scriptures tell us that we will be able not just to see Him, but we perceive Him. Perceiving means it is in the heart. If we just see someone, but if the eyes are not anointed with love, then that sight has no value. But if you see someone whom you love, because of that love, you find that your eyes become anointed with love. So then you drink in the sight of the person, and that becomes valuable. So the child at the 7th month, the child prays very hard. And the child says that only in the repentant heart of the living entity can the Supreme Lord be perceived. That is why another very important quality in devotional service is to be repentant. When we are repentant of our actions of forgetting Krishna, of forgetting the Lord, if we are repentant that we are not serving the Lord, then you will find it becomes very, very much possible for us to perceive the Lord. So this is a very important qualification. You will find this in the pastime of the Supreme Lord in this. So Mataji, you are now, you know, with child, and child will come soon. And I know Sagar Prabhu was chasing me that somehow or another we should do something. And somehow or another the time has come. We have a saying that nothing is actually an accident and that everything is arrangement. So there must be a reason why today we have to come together. And based on scriptures, the unborn child is fully conscious of what we are speaking. Just because we cannot see that consciousness doesn't mean the consciousness is not there. There are hundreds and millions of things we cannot see in this world, but it doesn't mean that they are not there. You know, well, many of us have not physically seen Donald Trump. Maybe it's good. I don't know. But it doesn't mean he doesn't exist. You know, so the point is, the good Lord exists, and He's always in the heart as our witness. And to the extent that we serve Him, to that extent He always reciprocates with us. So this pastime, why we are lighting the lamp today, is because of this beautiful pastime of the Lord in the form of a little boy in Vrindavan. And he's known here as Damodara. And you can see next to him is his mother. And mother's name is Yashoda. So the Supreme Lord came in this form. Why? Because he wanted to please his devotees. Devotional service means there must be an interaction between the Lord and the devotees. If there's no interaction, then it becomes impersonal. Like today, I'm seeing all the devotees. So our meeting is personal. But if you were to be on Skype, for example, and hear me or I hear you from Skype, you won't feel so personal. Nothing like seeing each other. So in the same way, Krishna came as himself, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, to give pleasure to devotees like Yashoda Mata. So, this pastime actually takes place on the actual day of Diwali. And it is celebrated 2 weeks before and 2 weeks after in the auspicious month of Kartik. So, whatever that we do in this month, if we remember the good Lord and His pastime, then our heart becomes very connected to Krishna. And you'll find that you become very peaceful. And this pastime can be repeated 100 times over. We just repeated it 2 hours ago. But we'll find now again when we speak about the pastime, it is refreshing. That's why I was saying that if I and you were to speak about our pastimes, nobody wants to hear our pastimes, isn't it? If I sit down and tell you, today I did this, I did that, I did this, you'll tolerate me for a while. But after a while, you get tired also. Our passing time is not very beneficial for anyone, and nobody wants to hear. But the Lord's pastimes, they become very beautiful. Why? Because Krishna is transcendental. He transcends the material modes of nature. So anything connected to Krishna also becomes transcendental. That is very important. So the unborn child is not hearing a material topic. The unborn child is hearing a spiritual topic. So this will stay with the child. So it is stated in the Shastras that actually Krishna was actually sleeping in the house of Mother Yashoda in the morning of Diwali. And at that time, Mother Yashoda woke up early, dressed herself very nicely, and she was prepared now to come and serve Krishna. How? She wanted to get her maid servants and herself to churn some butter into, you know, some milk into butter, yogurt, and other dairy products that Krishna liked very much. But Mother Yashoda realized that being Diwali, it was a time when her maid servants were also busy. They had so many other things to do. So even though she was very dressed up nicely, she thought that I will personally make some nice curd, nice butter for Krishna, because Krishna always likes it. So Mother Yashoda began doing that. And when she started performing this activity needed some form of endeavor, because churning is not easy. In traditional India, if you churn, you find it is an activity that requires a lot of effort. But Mother Yashoda didn't mind it. Why? Because while she was performing an endeavor, her consciousness was fully fixed on the wonderful pastimes of Krishna. It is very common, we all can understand this, that sometimes the children we love very much, we go to great extents of endeavor just to do things which ordinarily we would not do. Ordinarily, if we endeavored for our children, no, if we didn't endeavor for our children, ordinarily an activity can become tedious. It can become draining. It can become very tiring. But if an activity is done for the satisfaction of someone whom we love, the activity actually becomes liberating. It becomes precious and it gains value. You know, you have this idea. Bhagavad Gita tells us that if you want to really gain value in life, learn to appreciate all that comes to you, because it is the mercy of the Lord. A devotee's vision is everything that comes to us is mercy. So when Mother Yashoda thought that, oh, I have to endeavor, she didn't see it as endeavor. She saw it as opportunity. So those who appreciate what comes to them as the mercy of the Lord, appreciation in accounting terms means what? When something appreciates, it means the value increases. So the word appreciate actually means that. When you appreciate someone, automatically the value of that person increases. And the value of your relationship with that person also increases. See, it's so simple actually. But the moment you don't see an opportunity, but you see it as endeavor, then that moment is not a moment of appreciation. Instead, it is the opposite in accounting terms. Its value depreciates. When you depreciate, that means you don't value it anymore. So when we have the eyes of devotion, then whatever that comes to us in the world, whatever work we have, whatever endeavor we have, if we dovetail it to the satisfaction of Krishna or to the service of devotees, it is an opportunity. It is not an endeavor. Then it becomes very pleasing. This is the secret to staying in this world. How? To be able to work in such a way that we put the Lord in the center. The moment the Lord is in the center of all our activities, that house becomes very peaceful. The moment you put the Lord in the center of your relationships, that relationship becomes very successful. Every problem in this world occurs only because there is no presence of the Lord in between any transactions. If a transaction is there because the Lord is in between, that transaction never brings dissension. But when the transaction is there in such a way that the Lord is not there, or the devotees are not there, then it will bring dissension. You can test it. You will see. So Mother Yashoda had no dissension in her heart. She had no endeavor. She found it as an opportunity. Why? She could remember Krishna. So as she worked hard, her consciousness was just thinking of Krishna. And that is the beauty of Krishna consciousness. That it doesn't matter where we are, but as long as we are conscious of the good Lord, that brings us to a different world. We are no longer in the material world. Material energy cannot touch us when we are using an opportunity to remember Krishna. So Mother Yashoda kept churning the butter and she remembered all the pastimes of Krishna. In particular, she remembered about the pastimes of stealing butter from all the other neighbors and not taking it from her own house. Mother Yashoda was a worried mother. She was thinking that my child has this funny tendency. He goes to everybody's houses and steals butter from them. They all come and complain that, why is your son a thief? And then I don't know what to do. Because he says, no, I didn't steal. I love your butter. The fact is, Mother Yashoda made the best butter. But the problem is, Krishna liked stealing other people's butter. You know, any mother will start feeling it. If you make breakfast to your child and he goes to your neighbor's house to eat, you start thinking, what's wrong with my breakfast, you know? It's natural. So Mother Yashoda was thinking, what's wrong with me? Why he doesn't eat at home? I make the best things for him. He goes to steal. And she had another concern. She was thinking, my son grows up and he becomes a thief. He becomes a delinquent. That's very bad, isn't it? You know? So all these things are there. We have children. We know how we feel. Children come back with some strange, funny ideas. We think, my God, what will happen to them when they grow up? You know? Your time is coming. When they will come, then all these things will come. You know? So Mother Yashoda was a worried mother. But her worry was not based on speculation. Her worry was based on love for Krishna. So she thought, I must make Krishna a better behaved boy. Thinking like that, she remembered the activities of Krishna. So while she was doing that, because of her intense remembrance of Krishna, Krishna woke up. He was sleeping in the room next door because it was early in the morning. He woke up and he was hungry. So he runs out and sees his mother. Mother is very happy. Here I am remembering Krishna. And now Krishna comes. So Krishna came and he tugged at her sari. And he indicated that I want some milk. So mother became very happy. She stopped the endeavor and she now gave him milk. See, this is the reciprocation of the Lord. A simple pastime, but so deep. When we lovingly perform an endeavor as an opportunity to remember Krishna, the effect of that opportunity and endeavor is that Krishna reciprocates immediately. And he doesn't reciprocate by sending some of his authorized representatives. He does it swayam. He does it himself. He comes himself. Why? Because these are pure devotees of the Lord. That's why when we serve the pure devotees of the Lord, Krishna is present. He's there. So Krishna came out and said, I want milk. So Mother Yashoda puts him on the lap and she feeds him her milk. And now she's ecstatic because not only is she giving him milk, but think about it. Mother Yashoda is actually given an opportunity to feed the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And she has full darshan of him. She continues to see him and see his beautiful face. But now we have a problem. Because as Mother Yashoda is feeding Krishna, she had put milk on a pan to boil. And that milk was meant for Krishna. But it was starting to boil. And she heard it in the kitchen. So she was in a bit of a dilemma. If I put Krishna down, he hasn't finished feeding. So he'll get upset. You know, when children don't finish their feed, they get upset. When you feed them well and you give them one or two slaps on the back and they've burped, they'll sleep very well. If not, no, they're very unhappy. You'll also be doing that soon. So then what happens is, she was thinking, now if I did that and I put him down, then I can go and save the milk. But what happens if I take care of him and feed him until it ends, the milk will all boil, it'll all be wasted. What was the milk for? The milk wasn't for her. The milk was for Krishna. If it was for her, it would not never have been an issue for Mother Yashoda. Let it burn. It doesn't matter. I should take care of Krishna. But because it was for Krishna, it became important to her. So she put Krishna down and she goes into the kitchen. And what does she do? She takes care of the pan, hoping that she'll come out quickly. Now Krishna, as a baby, has half fed. So he is not fully fed. But he's God. But he has taken the form of the perfect child. Why? Because his devotee is the perfect mother. This is the beauty of God. God is so powerful that he is able to relate to us in the relationship of whatever that we desire to see him in. Tvam bhakti yoga paribhavita hrit saroja ashe sutikshita pato nanu nata pumsam. Right? In that verse, it is very nicely said that not only does Krishna come, not only can we perceive and see Krishna by hearing about him, but after hearing about him, he cleanses our heart and then he takes his seat there. And the devotee who's praying to Krishna in any form that is pleasurable and makes him remember Krishna, that form Krishna is willing to take. He's willing to take. So Krishna knew that Mother Yashoda's love for him was manifested in him, in her being the mother and him being the child. So he became the perfect child. So what does he do? This is what he does. he decides to throw a tantrum. Because most children would throw a tantrum when they cannot feed well. And if you've had children, yes, you know, when they are young, when they're not happy with something, they can really throw a tantrum. So Krishna decides, let me be transcendently angry. So when we say transcendently angry, it doesn't mean that Krishna is angry the way you and I are. When we are angry, we are normally angry because we cannot control our senses. But Krishna is known as Rishikesha. He's the master of the senses. In fact, not only is he Rishikesha, but in this episode, he's also Govinda. He gives pleasure to the senses. So to give more pleasure to the senses of Yashoda Mata, he decides to become a transcendently naughty child. So he breaks the pot that was kept there and that Mother Yashoda was churning in. And when he breaks it, all the mixture of the milk, the butter and the curd, they all drop on the floor. All hard effort of his mother. But he did this because he felt, mother put me down and therefore she should be punished. And in saying that, he breaks the pots. When there's a mess in front of him, then Krishna realizes, oh, this is not a very pleasant situation now. Because if mother comes back, I will be in trouble. So Krishna flees the scene. And as Krishna flees the scene, Mother Yashoda comes in, thinking that my poor baby, I have to feed him. But she doesn't see the poor baby anywhere because he has run. Instead, what she is left with is a scene of a crime. The pots are broken. The milk, the curd, the yogurt, butter, they're all strewn everywhere. And Mother Yashoda is thinking, what has happened here? Mother Yashoda sees small footprints of Krishna that have been caught as he's running away in the butter and in the curd. And now she knows where Krishna has run. But Mother Yashoda, Bhagavatam tells us, is not angry. In fact, Bhagavatam tells us, surprisingly, Krishna book, Prabhupada writes, that Mother Yashoda is smiling. She was smiling because she thought to herself, how intelligent my son is. See, this is mother. You know, fathers don't think that way normally. Fathers say, oh, this is too much, you know, better get the stick out. But mother's love is so unconditional that Mother Yashoda only saw good. This is mood of devotee. A devotee only sees good in any trying situation. So instead of lamenting that, oh, milk has gone, Mother Yashoda was thinking, Krishna is so intelligent. You know, he has broken the pot because he's angry with me. But after breaking the pot, he knows he should not stay around. So he has run away. So now I shall go and discipline him. Mother Yashoda picked up a stick and she thought, this is the time for me to make sure Krishna doesn't do this anymore. He can do it in my house, it's okay. But stealing butter from other people's house, unacceptable. So today it has to stop. So Mother Yashoda decided we will stop this. So she walks following Krishna's footsteps and she walks into the inner chambers of the house. There is a room where all these pots of dried and made butter and yogurt are hanging. And when she walks in, she's at the entrance. Thank you, Prabhu. She's at the entrance. And at that point, a wonderful sight beholds Mother Yashoda. She sees Krishna sitting on a mota. You see the mota? That's the mota on which he's actually eventually tied. But at that time, there was a mota in the room. And Krishna was seated on top because it was high enough for him to reach all the pots that were hanging. So Krishna is highly intelligent. He needs to get it. So he sits on the mota. Now when he sits on the mota, he's able to catch it. And she sees that he has actually broken some of the pots so that milk or butter is released. And he's feeding all his best friends all the butter. Now Krishna's best friends are, of course, you know, the cowherd boys. But he's got another set of very special friends whom he always would spend time with. And they are the monkeys of Vrindavan. Literally the monkeys. So these monkeys were all crowding around Krishna. And Krishna was doing transcendental prasadam distribution. Oh, this is the first Food for Life campaign started by Krishna in Vrindavan. Very auspicious. And he's feeding all the monkeys. So Mother Yashoda is watching and thinking, my boy is so kind. He's feeding all the monkeys. But it's not his butter. And this butter is meant for him. This is what bewilders Mother Yashoda. Why is it that he's feeding everyone but he doesn't take it himself? And when he wants to take it himself, he goes to somebody's house to steal it. Doesn't make sense. But she's watching. But these monkeys are so happy. And lovingly Krishna is feeding them. Lovingly they are taking it from Krishna. They're having a big picnic in the house. This is what we call, you know, honestly dividing stolen property. Have you heard of this? There was a group of thieves, you know, who went to a village and they stole property. After stealing all the property, they came up to an area away from the village and opened up their loot. Then they all sat down and said, brothers, now we have so much stolen property, let's divide it very honestly. It's, you know, Prabhupada used this story to tell us that this is the irony of life. We take things that don't belong to us. They're all given to us by the mercy of the Lord. But when it comes to dividing it, we claim to be very honest. But when it comes to acquiring it, we don't even think whose it is actually. So Mother Yashoda was thinking, this is amazing. Look at this group of people. What are they doing? But she didn't realize at that point that what was transpiring between the monkeys and Krishna is a very deep reciprocation between the Lord and his devotees. These monkeys in the previous life, Bhagavatam tells us, they were the Vanaras. They were the monkey soldiers who fought with Lord Ram in Ram Leela. And they fought so hard and they served him as pure devotees. And at the end, when he conquers Ravana and hands over Lanka to Vibhishana, at that point of the coronation, Lord Ram actually asked the monkeys, ask for any benediction and I will give it to you. You can ask for anything and I will give it to you. But the monkeys say, we don't want anything. The only thing we want is that life after life, wherever you are, we should be with you. This is what we call unconditional love. This is known as pure devotional service. The monkeys could have gotten anything, but they said, what is the value of anything else if you are not there? This is the mood of a devotee. We may have so many things with us, Prabhus and Matajis, but they have no value until they are with Krishna. If these things are used for Krishna, then everything becomes valuable. But if these things are not used for Krishna, then they may appear to have value, but they don't bring happiness and peace. In fact, they bring anxiety. That is why it's so nice to see that we have such a nice house today. You know, the atmosphere in this house is so nice. And you have channeled that energy to serve the good Lord by hearing about him. And in that way, the entire transaction becomes meaningful. This is the beauty of devotional service. So what happens now is these monkeys prayed. And Lord Ram, many years ago, thousands of years ago, he decided, so be it. So when Lord Ram came now as Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam, the original personality of Godhead, he never forgot his promise to his devotees. And since they were monkeys then, let them be monkeys now. And they came as monkeys. And whereas there, they served the Lord with awe and reverence because Lord Ram was, you know, Purushottam Leela. He was a bit strict, you know, hardly smiled in Ramayana, never laughed, you know, very, very. Only one time with the Kevat he laughed. If not, he never laughed. So that time, monkeys also couldn't really be monkeys. I mean, for monkeys to be monkeys, they must really play. But they were all serious monkeys because they had to do a job. They had to build a bridge and they had to fight. But here, all that inhibitions were gone because Krishna was very free with the monkeys. And they were very free with Krishna. And they were all very free about the stolen property. So it didn't matter to them. So actually this episode in this Leela shows us that Krishna never forgets a promise he makes to his devotees. We may forget our promise to the good Lord, but the good Lord never forgets his promise to us. If his promise is to deliver and protect, then he will keep it. But because we don't have the eyes to see it, we think endeavors and difficulties of life are actually problems. That's why it's very nicely stated that pain in this material world is inevitable, but suffering is optional. This we should remember. Pain is inevitable because nature of the world is that whatever comes will go, and that is painful. But how we accept that, whether we suffer or not, that is optional. That is in the hands of the devotee. If the devotee uses that to remember Krishna, then suffering is not there. Joy is there. And that's what happened to the monkeys. So never be discouraged in life. We should know, yes, nature of fire is to burn, but I don't have to put my hand into the fire. That suffering is optional. I can use the fire in the service of the Lord. This is the secret of living in this world. It is stated that we should be in this world, but we should not be of this world. There's a difference. Be in the world. You have no choice. Don't be off this world. We should be always attached to Krishna, the good Lord. Then we may be in the world, but we are not in the world. The monkeys were there, and Krishna appeared there. And Mother Yashoda thought, this is just a normal transaction. But it was very deep. it was an exchange of love. But now that exchange was going to end, because the monkeys saw Mother Yashoda, and monkeys being monkeys, they knew now this whole thing is gone. We better run. So through the windows, through the doors, through the cracks, they vanished. Krishna was thinking, what happened? Such a nice time I was having. Nice prasadam distribution was going on. Why did they run? Then he realized somebody behind must have, frightened them. So Krishna turns, and lo and behold, he sees Mother. Seeing Mother is good. Seeing Mother with stick, not so good. So now he realizes he's going to be punished. Krishna jumps off the mota and he starts running. Mother Yashoda, for the second time in the day, she smiles. She thinks, my son is very intelligent. Now he sees me, he wants to run. For her, this is very nice. For us, we are thinking, it's not intelligent, it's survival. We have to run, otherwise we'll get beaten. But Mother Yashoda's love for Krishna, he said, he's so smart. He's very good. Devotee always sees good. We just see something plain, but devotees see, wow, this is amazing. This is amazing. This is the mood of a devotee. You notice devotees, they're very childlike, very innocent. When a child comes into this world, everything is amazing to the child. We should retain that childlike quality in devotional service. If we lose that, we'll think, been there, done that. Chanting, you're just chanting. You came, that's why you're very happy with chanting. Wait till 10 years and you forget about chanting. Nothing is bad. This is regression. This is not progress. But we think, no, this is experienced devotee. Don't wait. The more experienced we are, the more new we are to devotional service. It's like we just started yesterday. That means we are experienced. For Mother Yashoda, it was like the first day she saw Krishna. It was like she just gave birth to him today. That was her mood. This is enthusiasm. So enthusiastically, she runs after Krishna. Why? Because I need to discipline him. Running and running and running. Krishna is running. Now, when the children were small, I know you all ran after them because I ran after my children. Of course, they ran quite fast. And depending on how heavy you are and how light you are, it also depends on how far and how big the house is. But putting all that aside, you normally catch your child. But Krishna is not an ordinary child. He is the supreme personality of Godhead. And it's not easy to catch God. Because God is not owned by anyone. God is free. He is Swarat. He is independent. But because of the love of Krishna and love of his devotee, Krishna agreed to be caught by Mother Yashoda. Why? Because Mother Yashoda was endeavoring. In her heart, she did not want to catch Krishna to prove a point that, see, I've caught Krishna, the Supreme Personality. She didn't know him to be God. It was just her child. But I was just saying that in another pastime, there was a demon known as Kalayavana. And he was very envious of Krishna. And he wanted to catch Krishna and fight with him. But at that time, Krishna left the famous Rancho Rai pastime. Instead of fighting with the demon, Krishna proceeded to walk away from the demon. So the demon thought, this Krishna is coward number one. Let me catch him. So the more he ran after Krishna, just at the point when he would catch Krishna, Krishna would be a mile away. And he became frustrated. But here, Mother Yashoda was trying to run after Krishna. They were both running. Demon was running, devotee was running. But Mother Yashoda eventually catches Krishna. Because in her heart, there is nothing but devotion. Her motive for catching Krishna was to serve him. Her punishment for him was service. This is very important. When we want to serve the good Lord, you will find that the Lord always reciprocates. That is why he agreed to be caught by Mother Yashoda. But he did not get caught by the demon. The demon was eventually vanquished. So Mother Yashoda catches Krishna now. And now she decides, let me do something about it. But she realized there's an issue. Because she has a stick. And Krishna exhibits great fear. Because he's afraid that he's going to be punished by his mother. So Bhagavatam tells us he has these shark-shaped earrings. And because he's fearful, when children are fearful, they start shivering, isn't it? And they start crying. And sometimes their crying goes in gasps. And then they have difficulty taking in air, and you have to really calm them down. So Krishna was in that terrified state. The stick was terrifying him. So he was breathing heavily. So the necklace was moving. The anklets were making noise. The bracelets were making noise. The ones, the bracelets you put on the side of his, plump arms, they were also shaking. His shark-shaped earrings were shaking. And because he had kajal, he had mascara. And because he was crying, that was also forming rivulets down his cheeks. And Bhagavatam tells us his cheeks was like with the bimba fruit. Very reddish, in color. He was a picture of fear. But for the second time in this day, it is amazing how Krishna, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, first agrees to be caught by his devotee, caught on the basis of love, and he agrees to be fearful. And why did he exhibit fear when even death personified is fearful of Krishna? In this world, even death cannot catch the good Lord. In fact, the death is considered a servant of the Lord. And death is fearful of the Lord, they say. They say in the scriptures that the wind is blowing out of fear of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, third canto. They say that the sun is shining because of fear of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And yet the Supreme Personality of Godhead was fearful of his mother as a child. This is the greatness of Mother Yashoda's love. Krishna agreed to be the perfect child, so he behaved as the perfect child. And at that point of time, Mother Yashoda decides, let me drop the stick. I don't want to fear, I don't want to cause so much fear in his heart. So I won't hit him. I will just do one thing. I'll tie him to the mota. Tie him up for a while, make sure he doesn't move around. Because he can't keep still. You know, he can't keep still. So she thought, let me tie him, then he'll become a bit calm. So she gets the ropes, pulls little Krishna to the mota, tells him, stand there, I'm going to tie you. So she tries tying him, but she can't. The rope is 2 inches short. She gets more rope from the house, ties them together, brings it around his belly, 2 inches short. She's puzzled now. She has to work very hard to get more rope. She gets more rope. She ties it around, but it's 2 inches short. Now, Krishna is not an obese child, right? His belly is not so big. It's a bit round, like all children, but not so big. So Mother Yashoda is bewildered. But she's not worried. For the third time, she's smiling. She's smiling in wonder. What is this about my son? How do I tie him? And as she was so much in endeavor and with so much sincere effort, that Krishna finally decided, I think my mother has worked very hard this morning. Huh? She was churning butter for me. I broke it. Then after that, I ran and she had to run and run and run until she was almost fainting. Then I agreed to be caught. Now she's tying and tying and tying, but the rope just won't make it. So never mind. Let me become bound. So Krishna then agrees to become bound. And that's why in our scriptures it is stated that the 2 inches that the ropes were short on, they represent two pillars of success in devotional service. The first pillar is the sincere endeavor of the devotee. And the second pillar is attracted by the first pillar. The second pillar is attracted by the first pillar because the second pillar is the causeless mercy of the Lord. Only with the mercy and sanction of the Lord can even a blade of grass move in this world. So only by the mercy of the Lord can actually Mother Yashoda bind Krishna. And yet, the mercy of the Lord is subservient to the endeavor of the devotee. Simultaneously one and different. The mercy is very great, but it is attracted hopelessly and helplessly by the sincere efforts of the devotee. That's why Krishna says, I may be independent, but I am fully, fully dependent on my devotees. And this is the proof. So because if we, this is practical for us. Sometimes we say, how do we attain love of God? Love of God is not attained in a cheap way. Love of God is attained by sincere endeavor. Like all relationships in the world that are successful are always founded on the premise of hard work, love, and care. If you love someone, chances are you will show it. It will be on the basis of endeavor. If you want to be successful in something, you have to work hard at it. And yet when it comes to God, we always say, we'll do everything else, and then when we have time, we'll say a prayer. But if we really love him, then the first prayer and the first appointment of the day should be with the good Lord. And that is what Mother Yashoda did. So Mother Yashoda bound Krishna not with the ropes. She bound him with love. And that is why Krishna agrees to be bound in this pastime. So Mother Yashoda is very happy. She goes in to take care of the rest of the Diwali celebrations. Krishna is thinking, Mother thinks she has tied me. Yes, out of love she did, but I'm still free. Because I'm God. So now let me continue my mischief. Doesn't matter if she has tied me. So what does he do? He sees at the back of his courtyard two large trees. And he decides, let me crawl through the trees. No one knows why he's going to do that except him, because he's God. So he starts crawling like a baby. And the mortar, which was vertical, turns around and becomes horizontal and starts rolling behind him. It gains momentum, but Krishna is so powerful, it doesn't crush him. As he comes towards the trees, he goes through them because he's very small. He can go through it. But Bhagavatam tells us the mortar cannot. And the mortar gets stuck with two huge trees. But with a little bit of push, because Krishna is the source and reservoir of all strength, easily the trees fall. And when the trees fall, in place of the trees come two very beautiful effulgent beings. They look like Gandharvas. They look like Devatas. And they turn and bow before Krishna and thank Krishna. Krishna, thank you for freeing us of this terrible prison of being the trees. So Krishna feigns ignorance. Because if he doesn't feign ignorance, how will you and I know what is the story behind the trees? So he says, my dear gentleman, you look so beautiful, so effulgent. But why have you been trees in the courtyard of my house? Tell me your history. And then they say, we are the two sons of the superintendent of wealth, Kuber. For a long time, because our father's immense wealth was inexhaustible, so to speak, we were practically unemployed. I mean, if your father's very rich, you know, your tendency not to work hard is greater. If father doesn't want to give you money, then tendency to work hard is a desperation, isn't it? You have to work. He's not going to give you money. So here, if you have a father who's a finance minister of the universe, so to speak, then you know money is always going to be there. So the two boys did not bother to work. They spent all their days in sense gratification. They were inebriated, they were intoxicated. And one day they were in a lake in the Himalayan regions and they were just bathing and sporting and frolicking when a great devotee of the Lord, Narada Muni, he walks by. When Narada Muni sees these boys, and there were some girls in the lake also, the girls came out and they put on clothes and they bowed before a pure devotee of the Lord. But the two boys did not. They came out naked as day and they just acted very foolishly in front of Narada. Narada, instead of becoming angry, he became compassionate. This is a very important point. When we are devoted to Krishna and when we take up devotional service, when we see other living entities missing out on an opportunity to remember God, we should not become angry with them. We should not judge them. Narada never judged them. He never criticized them. Actually, he was very compassionate. He started praying in his heart, look at these two boys, so much potential to be devotees, wasting their life away. So he started praying to Krishna. Krishna, somehow or another, help me find a way to give them an opportunity to actually become devotees. How? By somehow or another coming in touch with Krishna, you. And Narada said, I don't know how it's going to be, but I know that if I pray hard, you will do it. And with that great faith, Narada cursed the two boys. He said, since you like to be naked, better you become trees in your next life. Now all the intoxication went away and they became desperate. Don't make us trees, Narada. You know, we want to enjoy, but we're very sorry that we enjoyed. Now please, redeem us. And Narada said, my curse may appear like a curse, but it is a blessing. And this is important. Devotees never count life in such a way that it is dreary and difficult. Every challenge for a devotee is a blessing. Because a challenge means we have to remember the good Lord even more intensely. When you put up a picture like this, it's a beautiful picture. When you want to put up this picture, you probably knocked a nail into it and then you were going to place the picture on the wall. Now, just before you put it up, anyone worth his salt who has ever done this will tell you that the automatic reaction is we test the strength of the nail before we put the picture. That is what the good Lord does to us when we take up devotional service. Before he frames himself into our hearts, he will test our hearts to see whether we are ready to receive his mercy. And that is why what appears as a curse is very often a blessing. When a devotee has such a positive attitude in life, a devotee becomes a boon not just for himself, but to everyone around him. Because he radiates positive energy. And this is so important. So Narada Muni just came and he blessed them by cursing them. So for devotee, nothing is a curse. Everything is good. So the boys became trees. But he said, I will modify the curse. I will pray that you become trees, but you become trees in the house of Nanda Maharaj. And one day I pray that these trees, you, will be delivered by Krishna. Wait for him to come. So for many, many years, the trees remained in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj until Krishna decided to enact his pastimes in Vrindavan. And now, Krishna, being in the heart of everyone, he's in the heart of the trees also. So after he's finished his pastime of love with Mother Yashoda, he decided, there's another devotee I have a pastime with. And that devotee isn't even physically present, Narada. I'm also bound by my love for him. There are two bindings of love in this Leela. The first binding is very apparent. It is the rope. It is Mother Yashoda's love. The second binding is deeper. It is the binding rope of Narada to Krishna. And it happened thousands of years ago. But Krishna was still bound by Narada's love. So what happens? Krishna then goes to the tree and he delivers them. And he tells them that, I have nothing to do with you, my two boys. I don't know you, frankly. You had nothing to do with me. I had nothing to do with you. You were frolicking in some lake. But because the good devotee, Narada, he desired that you must be liberated. Now his desire has become my wish. This is the greatness of the devotee. If a devotee means well for us on the blessings of the devotee, we will also gain the kingdom of God. So these two apparently hopeless personalities were liberated just by seeing Krishna and they went back. And this is the greatness of Krishna. That Krishna not only reciprocated with Mother Yashoda, but he also reciprocated with Narada. And Narada wasn't even there. But by delivering these two persons whom Narada prayed for, Krishna was actually extending mercy. Sometimes people ask, what was the endeavor of these two persons? Mother Yashoda endeavored so much, so Krishna reciprocated. These two people stood as trees for 1,000 years just waiting. What was their endeavor? Why so much mercy? The mercy came not on account of these two persons. The mercy came on account of the endeavor of Narada. The prayer and the goodwill of a pure devotee. So there's still a rope involved. There are still 2 inches involved. You just don't see the rope. But the principle is there. And in that way, Krishna pleased the heart of Yashoda and he pleased the heart of Narada. Jai Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki. So it's a beautiful pastime. It has so much significance. And that's why today, we request all of you to come forward, light a lamp, remember this pastime of the good Lord and his mercy, and then after that, offer it. In fact, during this period, if you can do it every day, even without us being here, it is considered highly auspicious. In fact, it is considered that the result of lighting a lamp for Damodara in this month brings 1,000-fold benefits of devotional service. Pure devotional service can be attained in this month just purely by lighting this lamp and actually remembering this pastime. So let's chant. Whatever that we are going to chant now is actually a narration of the pastime of the Lord. So please chant with your heart and then light the lamp.
Namamishwaram Satchidanandarupam Lasat Kundalam Gokule Prajamanam Yashoda biyolu kaladhavamanam Haram rishtahamatyan tato drutya gopya Yashoda biyolu kaladhavamanam Haram rishtahamatyan tato drutya Rudantam muhur netra yukmam vijantam Haram bojah yukmena satanka netram Rudantam Muhu swasa kampa trireka kakanta Stita graivam dhamo dhanam bhakti badham Iti drikswalila bhiranda kundi Swaposham nimajantam makhyapayantam
Iti drikswalila bhiranda kundi Swaposham nimajantam makhyapayantam
Tadishitane shubaktai jitabham Puna premahatastam satavriti vande Varam devah namoda Varam devah moksham na moksham vadimma Nachanyam vrineham vareshadapi Idam teva purnata gopala balam Sada me manasya virastam ki manye
Jai Balagopal
Yidam te mukham bojam matyanta neelai Mritam kuntalai snekta rattaischa gopya Muhuschumbitam bimbharatpadaramne Manasya virastam alam lakshalabhe
Muhuschumbitam bimbharatpadaramne Manasya virastam alam
lakshalabhe Namo devah damodharananta vishnu Prasida prabho dhukha chalabdi magnam
Namo diva damodar ananta vishnu
Jai damodar ji
Prasida prabho dhukha chalabdi magnam
Kripa drishti vrishyati dinam batanu Grahanesha mamagnya medakshi drishaya
Kripa drishti vrishyati
Kuve Ratma Jau Baddha Mutyai Vayatma Vaya Mochitao Bhakti Bhajao Kritao Cha
Kuve Ratma Jau Baddha Mutyai Vayatma Vaya Mochitao Bhakti Bhajao Kritao Cha
Tatha Prema Bhakti Swakam Me Praya Cha Namo kshe graho mesti damo dareha
Namo kshe graho mesti damo
dareha Tatha prema bhakti swakam me prayacha Namo kshe graho mesti damo dareha Namaste stu dhamne spuratipti dhamne Tvadiyo dharayat vishvasya dhamne
Namaste stu dhamne spuratipti dhamne Tvadiyo dharayat vishvasya
dhamne Namo radhikayai tvadiyapriyaya namo ananta leelaya devaya tubhyam
namo radhikaya swarniya priyaya
shrimati radharani ki namo radhikaya swarniya priyaya namo ananta leelaya devaya tubhyam
namo radhikaya swarniya priyaya
hari bol hare krishna hare krishna 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 hare 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 rama 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 hare 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 krishna 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 hare 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 rama 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 hare hare
yashoda
damodar ji ki Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Krishna.
Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare
Bol. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Yashoda
Damodar ji ki. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Bol. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Srila Prabhupada.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Bol.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare
Krishna,
Krishna,
Hare Bol.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare
Krishna.
Yashoda Damodara, Yashoda Damodara, Yashoda Damodara,
Jai Damodari ki,
Jaya Vrindavana Dham, Vrindavana Dham, Vrindavana Dham, Jaya Vrindavana Dham,
Vrindavana Dham ki.
Hari Bol, Nittai Gora Hari Bol,
Hari Bol, Hari Bol,
Jaya Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupada,
Prabhupada.
Guru De, jay jay gurudev jay shri yashoda damodar ji ki jay shri radha damodar ji ki vrindavan bhumi dham ki granthraj shrimad bhagavatam ki अनंत कोटि वैष्णविंद की श्रील प्रभुपाद की श्रील गुरुदेव की निताय गौर प्रेमानंद
थैंक यू सागर प्रभु एंड फैमिली थैंक यू वेरी मच फॉर हैविंग अस ओवर आई होप योर नेबर्स आर नाइस लीगली स्पीकिंग इट्स ऑल राइट फॉर यू टू कंटिन्यू विद ऑल दिस अप टू 10. But then, you know, in condominiums, sometimes the MCST has a different way of looking at things. So I hope you'll feed them well with prasad. Generally, when we have big programs, we tend to advise devotees, feed your neighbors well. Then when we have the programs, they become quite satisfied. But I leave you to handle the damage that we have left behind. Thank you very much. Mataji, wishing you the best in your delivery. Like I said, the time Krishna arranges. We planned so many things, didn't we? But it didn't work out. But it has worked out for the better because this is a very auspicious month for us to all come together. And to the family, thank you very much for having us. Hare Krishna. And thank you for all the devotees. It's so nice to see so many devotees. I didn't expect many devotees. Or at least I didn't expect seeing Prabhu, Mataji and all. So it's really very nice to see everyone. It shows you that when we gather together and put Krishna in the center, we are all actually very happy. Hare Krishna.
Okay. Well, I want to thank Deacon Guru. I was actually chasing him for the last 2 months. And
story of my life.
Yes. Not knowing. But somehow, I would like to thank Swami Prakash Prabhu.
Yes.
He actually also, you know, his contribution is a great contribution for this program actually.
And he changed a lot also. I'm very grateful to him.
Finally, last week, couple of weeks back, everything was planned and, you know, now we are all here. And really, I mean, I have no words. I don't know how to express also. But I want to thank from the bottom of my heart that he came, gave us, you know, wonderful time. And all the devotees who have come here on behalf of my family. And Hare Krishna.
Thank you
very much.
Thank you.
We have prasadam here. I've asked for Gopals. So please, everyone should have prasadam and then.